Blog Talk Radio. Hold.
Hello there. I think we're live right now. I see that we do have someone on the line, 806 area code. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Hello?
Yes, we can.
Why, good, sir. Man. Sir. Boy, that's the way I... Oh, I know who you are. I'll wait to needle you offline. How about Olivia? Do we have her with us today?
Yes, we do.
Good. We're waiting for one more to join us to pray. And I'm going to give the phone number here, and then I want to go on something that Olivia said last week. We're going to take up from that and continue. But if you want to call in, well, you call in on 319 area code 527-6208. And if you want to take part and ask questions or get on the show verbally, you hit, I believe it's 1, even though I don't know that I've done it. And you get in what they call the queue, but it'll, it's self-explanatory. I am going to continue with this whole idea of by grace through faith, that nothing comes from God to fallen mankind, even after salvation, including salvation, except by grace, which is, means we can't earn it, we don't deserve it, we're not good enough, we don't get better, we don't improve. Every aspect of us that God accepts, and all only thing he will accept, is his power working in us. Hold on just a moment. Okay, I'm bringing the other on. Okay, we
Hello,
now
there,
have
Kyle.
Raven on. Yes, just bear with us a second. Everything that we have in every aspect that God can accept, and let me tell you something, it isn't as much as most people think. Most people who sell a false gospel. Where I'm going, what we're talking, and the only way we activate this grace is by faith. And we have a lady by the name of, a young lady named Olivia, who's on with us. And she made the comment last week, or likened it to the parable Christ told in the Gospels of the four seeds. The seed is the Word of God. It has infinite power, which Raven is going to read today. Infinite. Beyond what we can even, when it's working in our life, we can't even think of it or understand it or imagine. But that infinite power has got to have the proper soil. And that soil is the only variable that changes. The seed, the Word of God, doesn't change. The soil, the condition of the person's heart, is what is the only variable in the equation, if I can call it that, that can change. And we're going to read, we are going to read, why I like it. I'm just not being polite to Olivia. Why I like that parable she brought up last week is the only thing that can change that soil, to either make that seed be dormant and never produce any works, or produce fruit 30, 60, 100-fold, is belief. That is the only thing that will activate that faith. And I would recommend, even though we're not going to do it today, go to the parable of the seeds, of the seed and the soil. Four different types of seeds, of soil, one seed, the Word of God. And as you read this, after I listened to Olivia's I won't say analogy, but it was, yeah, I guess it was. It was sort of analogy, metaphor to what we were talking about with by grace through faith. It was a practical application to it. I realized that in every case, and I'm not sure, Olivia, if I saw this earlier, but and this is an opinion of mine having read it, that in every case that seed took hold immediately. It wasn't total rejection of the gospel. And only one out of four people that it took hold of did it stay with. This is a very serious issue we're talking about. And then last Sunday night, and I had the two people who participated in this. I was born and raised in New York City. I am extremely, I won't go so far as say as rude. I hope that's not true. But I'm people from New York, and I'm not being unkind because I lived there till I was out of college. They don't stay quiet very often. But last Sunday night, Winter had a program on at 6 to 9 Eastern Daylight Savings Time. And I joined at about 8:30 in the evening when I got back from my Bible studies that I had. And Winter, Rachel, and Raven got into the whole concept about them judging whether you're truly born again, whether you truly let that seed by faith take hold in your life, or are you one of the other three seeds? One of the other three seeds that even though it took hold, after certain things happened, the seed just died off. It just was ineffective because of unbelief. And they got into this conversation where I was going with my lack of saying anything. For 1.5 hour, I said nothing because this was mesmerizing about really think about your salvation. Don't believe because some person like me says all you got to do is say certain words, not criticizing the words, but you had better examine your soil and make sure that you, even though the seed did take effect, it did start, that it didn't get destroyed, wiped out, made inactive. Read the parable of the seeds and the sower. The interesting thing, Olivia, is I realized after you talked last Sunday, this wasn't unbelievers and one out of four that hear it are going to believe. This is where the seed actually started, which narrows the playing field down, which brings me to Isaiah 6:13, where Isaiah was lamenting and God said, you go out and preach and one out of ten are going to hear you. Okay, having said all that, we're going to continue in that, taking off and keep staying with that parable of the sower and the seed and the condition of the soil. The condition of the soil is what we're asking Jesus Christ by grace, means we don't work for it or earn it, but by faith we trust in him to continuously activate that soil and keep it producing fruit. Okay, Raven, would you mind go ahead and saying an opening prayer, and then we will get into this, and we'll just pick up from what Olivia left off on last week.
Absolutely. Father, we are just so thankful for this time that you give us to not only speak about your word, but to allow others to hear at this time. There may be people out there who do not know you as their Lord and Savior, or there may be people able to receive your word. in any way, shape, or form, who don't have a Bible, who don't have anyone as a mentor, who just don't have the ability to understand your word in any way. So, Lord, we ask right now that your Holy Spirit reach out and touch everyone, every single person who is listening to your program today, and give them understanding, Lord. Give them understanding of your word. Allow them to hear. Open up their ears. Open up their eyes. And give them the understanding of your word today, Lord, because that is what is most important. Not just that they see it, not just that they hear it with their ears, but that they hear it with their heart. I pray, Lord, that you and your Holy Spirit would go forth this way today, Lord. Help us also that any words that we say, Lord, that we speak them only with the power of the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, amen.
Okay. And as we go, again, think of all we're doing. I shouldn't say all we're doing, because it's beyond human comprehension what the Word of God is doing. But the Word of God is the seed. Our soil is what only He is the only one that can break it up, that can fertilize it, that can water it, that can chemically, if I can use the analogy, get it so when the seed is in there and moisture comes down on it, that the seed produces tremendous amount of fruit. So let's think of everything we're going to read along with the, not, won't say a metaphor, analogy, that's not even a good word. What Olivia brought up with the parable of the seed and the sower was exactly what we're talking about. All right, Raven, would you read? We'll just recap where we're the last, I think, verses we read really were, let's do Ephesians 1, 12 through 15. And I had this come up Tuesday night, Raven, which you're not aware of, but it came up Thursday night in a study you attended when you were more mobile. What is belief? What does belief, everybody who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved, what does the belief means? Okay, there's a lot of...
Well, and really, what you said about people believing in Jesus Christ, people can believe in Jesus Christ, but don't worship him, that's the thing. Because Satanists believe in Jesus Christ, but do they worship him?
Stop just a minute. Just think of what Olivia just said, folks. That is exactly what was brought up by Mike Thursday night, Raven. Satan believes in Jesus Christ. So we know it's not intellectual. Go ahead, Olivia. If you have any more, go ahead and add it. You're right on. It's not intellectual.
No, that was just my only comment, but I thought I should throw that in because people can believe in him. Like, people can say that they believe in him, but does that necessarily mean they worship him? Because there are atheists that, I wouldn't say atheists, but, like, Chinese people who worship Buddha, like Buddhists, they believe in Jesus Christ, because some Buddhists do believe in Jesus Christ, but does that mean that they worship him? No, they worship Buddha, which is a false image, which also goes against the first and second commandment, you shall not create any other gods or idols before me.
And that is, I'm going to get off on a little tangent here, but Winter, who is also on with us, brought up a very good point, and I knew it. I just never gave much thought to it. Read the Ten Commandments as the Bible teaches them or says what they really are, and they go a lot deeper than just thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain or thou shalt not. I mean, And you're bringing up a very good point. Now, Raven, what you're going to read is exactly what Olivia just said, because this belief, and you're right, Olivia, I believe there are truly atheists. We can get into the battle of semantics. Well, there is no true atheist. Okay, we know that. Everybody has faith in something. But an atheist, one who does not claim to believe in a supreme being, let's say, you're right. They do believe that there was a man named Jesus Christ who walked on the earth. So her point is perfectly accepted. Again, not being polite to her because she's a caller into the program or a participant, but she's absolutely correct. You've got to distinguish between, this is where a question was asked, Raven, Thursday night in our study over
May
on
I also
Square.
May I add something real quick?
Yeah, sure.
So my mom found these two pictures of the Ten Commandments, and she took screenshots of them, so I have them right here. So I'm going to...
On sale at Walmart.
They were on Walmart. And so this kind of helps with this idea because this is...
Go right ahead.
This is faith versus deception. So... Sorry.
Don't worry about it.
So at so this is the one that she found. They're
can
both
I
found
interrupt
at Walmart.
You?
This is the first.
Olivia,
this is the correct one.
Can I interrupt you just a minute? Just 2 minutes, Raven.
Yes.
I said you're going to pray, and then I never let you pray.
No, I did.
Pardon me?
Yes, I did.
You did? Okay. The reason I'm confused is because Raven prays for me before we go on the air that I don't screw anything up technically. Okay, Olivia, continue.
Okay, so the first one, this is the correct one. The Ten Commandments, the first one, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Second, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. The third one, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Number four, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Number five, honor thy father and thy mother. Six, thou shalt not kill. Seven, thou shalt not commit adultery. Eight, thou shalt not steal. Nine, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And six, thou shalt not covet. Now, my mom also found this other one where it's incorrect. Because the second one, it took away the second one, and it split the tenth one into two.
Yes,
so listen to
I
this.
I saw
one.
That.
I am the Lord your God. You shall not have strange gods before me. You shall not take the name of the Lord in your... second, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Third, remember to keep holy the Lord's day. Four, honor your father and mother. Five, you shall not kill. Six, you shall not commit adultery. Seven, you shall not steal. Eight, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Nine, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife. And ten, you shall not covet your neighbor's goods. So if you take the original one that is correct, you'll find that thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image is missing. And number two is, number two on the incorrect one is, you shalt not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, which is the third on the correct one. That is deception, as well as, as well as if you find, if you look at the 9th and 10th, on the incorrect one, it says, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, and you shall not covet your neighbor's goods, when you can easily combine those two with the 10th as you shall not covet.
Nope, it makes sense. As a matter of fact, the way I was taught 100 years ago to remember the Ten Commandments, it was not what Exodus defines them as. We had that combination and deletion.
It just proves that people are deceiving us. This is what we were talking about, deception versus faith. We should have faith in the Lord and not be deceived by the fake graven images and what they so-called call the Ten Commandments.
You're absolutely right. Where I'm going to have, where Raven's going to read now on Ephesians 1, 12 through 15, the whole key here, folks, that you hear Olivia saying, it is the object of our faith that is going to be the difference between heaven and hell. The object of our faith. We've all got faith in something, I agree. And I do agree, using semantics, that there is no true atheist. And you're going to have people bring this up because they don't want to get down to the hardcore reality that Raven's going to read. Object of our faith will determine, are you going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, or depart from me, I never knew you. Do you agree with that, Raven?
Oh, absolutely. You know,
okay,
I want to mention one little thing. I'd like to mention
thing
before I read this, and that is in the beginning when you were talking, you mentioned something, and this is so important, and that is how you mentioned that, you know, yes, about how, you know, people are being, let's say, led astray by just
reading, they are.
And you know, this is a big thing with me, by just saying a prayer and then being led astray by just having said the words. So let's make this clear. If you go to 1 Corinthians 3:6, and I'm going to read, I'm actually going to read 4 and 5 before that. When one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is of Paul and who is Apollos? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believe, as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. You know,
that
there
is
are
so
people all over.
Victory, Raven, to today's teaching about giving the increase, there is more false preaching and teaching that I hear with my ears in my area of the United States that I hear on a daily basis about how we grow a church. We don't grow anything.
That's
but
right.
But see, again, it's what Olivia pointed. Who is the object of your faith? Go ahead.
That's right. Verse 7, so then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. We have all these people saying, oh, you know, well, look what our church did. You know, we saved so many people. And so-and-so, brother so-and-so, you know, he went out and saved so many
people. Wait a minute, Raven.
No,
are you saying that guide that I sold you yesterday for $500 is not going to make a church grow a planter out of you? I'm being
very sarcastic.
God gives
I know
increase.
You are.
Read that verse again. Neither Paul nor Barnabas, read that again. They are nothing.
Yeah. That's
go
right.
Ahead.
They
read
are
that
nothing.
Again.
I planted Apollos waters, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. We think we're so much. We just puff ourselves up and say, boy, I went out last year, and I talked to all these people, and I got them saved. No, you didn't. You didn't get anybody saved.
If that's your attitude, you're getting people to join the Harper Valley PTA. You're doing nothing.
Right.
Man, Raven,
you
just popped all my balloons in this room.
I mean, this is the problem with 99%, and I'm saying it out loud, with 99% of today's churches. If you're going to stand up there with your pompous behind and say, our church gets all these people saved and baptized, the Lord is not going to bless your church. In fact, I'll say it loud and clear, Satan is going to bless your church. He's loving it because your church is all about you and your flesh.
I'm going to pull my New York City heritage. I'm going to interrupt you. Read Acts 20, 28, 29, and 30.
Yep.
And this is exactly what this is the exhortation Olivia is giving us. Don't just say, I believe, because even an atheist believes there was a Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Acts 28, 29, and 30. And this is pandemic today.
And 31. You want 31 as well.
Go ahead. That's all right.
Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood.
Stop right there.
I know this. Okay.
Hold on. Stop right there. That exhortation, church, to shepherd the church of God that he purchased with his own blood. Is this what you and Winter talked about from 8:30 to 9 last Sunday night nonstop?
Yes.
Is the responsibility that you've got to preach the proper object of your faith? Is that not what Olivia has spoken on in the last half hour for probably 5 minutes that she spoke? Is the object of our faith, folks, if it is not in Jesus Christ? Are we getting results? Yes. Go ahead.
I have something to add to that. I remember back in the 90s, there was an organization called Evangelism Explosion, and people could join that, and they could go out door to door and hold events. And basically, when they would receive a quote unquote recruit by leading somebody through the sinner's prayer, they would get in their car and honk that, we've got another one entering the kingdom of heaven.
Look what I did.
Did you? So that be a picture.
Being a picture
of, yes, that can be a starting place if you're sincere when you pray a sinner's prayer. Everything
sincere
in it is biblical.
Yes.
But if you're just covering yourself just in case from hellfire so that you can tell others, now I know where I'm going, and nothing changes, and you're not putting your faith in Christ from that moment forward, you have a problem. You've been deceived into thinking that this prayer is like a one and done, and that belief in Jesus isn't what we're talking about. We're talking about a belief where you commit your life to him and you have a relationship with him, and that sanctification process begins.
Now, Raven, you go ahead.
This is what I call the play of prayer deception.
Yeah, but continue with 29 through 31, which is exactly where Winter is going with it.
Exactly. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not
where?
The flock.
Among us where, Raven? At the ball game?
In the church.
In the church. Amen. Amen. Go ahead.
Okay. Also, not just will they come in, but also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves.
That's just exactly what you said 5 minutes ago. My church,
right. We
did this, we did that, we do nothing.
Yes.
If you've done it, it's been Satan doing it.
That's
does
right.
he use you as a tool? Yes, he does.
Yep.
If you go back to what Olivia said 25 minutes ago, if the object
that's
of your
right.
faith is correct, yes, he will do it. Raven,
that's
when
right.
this when tonight's over, you know I go to Charlie's for a Bible study tonight.
Yeah.
When it's over, you got to come over to my house. You know where I live, and help me clean
yeah.
up all these broken balloons you just broke.
Therefore,
pride.
Therefore, watch and remember. What's that?
I say, keep going.
Okay. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night. For 3 years, night and day with tears.
About what?
About the fact that everything he just said before that, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. From among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Absolutely.
Turn to 1 Timothy. Turn to 1 Timothy 4:1.
I got my fingers in so many things right now. This is great.
It's
you know,
right.
But listen, this is so important. Here we go. 1 Timothy what? 3:1?
This is more than important. This is what Olivia was pointing at in the very beginning, and then last week with the soil. If your soil, if you don't allow Jesus Christ to be the one to manicure the soil and allow that seed to grow, you're going to hear on Judgment Day, depart from me, I never knew you. We're not talking about a denomination, folks, because we ain't got none. We're not talking about a church because we ain't got none. We're talking where your soul goes. Don't get
First
in
Timothy.
This trap that someone's 1 Timothy 4:1. Let me finish this a second. Don't get in this
yep,
trap
yep.
where you can't criticize my church. I'm not criticizing anything, folks. We have people listen to this program maybe in foreign countries. I don't know. I'm just saying that we are doing nothing out of any selfish motivation. You don't even know who we are or where we are. We're saying,
right.
all four of us are saying, folks, your eternal life depends on this. And if you think
yeah.
that Winter, Olivia, myself, and Raven are making a big deal out of this. Raven just said that the Holy Spirit warned us with tears, day and night, for 3 years. 3 years,
yeah.
day and night. Go ahead, Raven. Read 1 Timothy 4:1.
4:1 and 2. Now, the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, meaning they just don't even care anymore.
Do you see where we're all back to you allowing the Holy Spirit to keep that soil? First of all, keep it broken up. Keep it nourished, keep it fertilized, keep it well watered. Do you see where that parable that Olivia bought in last week, folks? We can't say we've done it once. I've recited a certain words or a prayer, or I've gotten a bath in church, and I'm not criticizing baptism at all, but don't put your faith in that. You've got to put your faith in the one who can keep your soil so it produces fruit. Is
That's
that
right.
making sense? And, of course, you know, you can't answer me on the radio, but this, folks, is not none of these people that are on this line have any selfish gain in this whatsoever in any way conceivable. The only thing
That's
we're
right.
trying to do is tell you, folks, as we ourselves have to pay attention. I want you to follow In fact, Winter and I recently started and didn't get far. We're going to progress further on it this week on spiritual gifts. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're talking about spiritual gifts. And one of the first verses we use is Paul gives the exhortation, follow me as I follow Christ. I take that back. It was in Ephesians. Follow me as I follow Christ, talking about spiritual authority. My mistake. That is what we're all three of us or four of us are saying to you, anyone listening. Don't take any of this as criticism. None of us are getting paid writing books, writing commentaries, writing study guides. We're just saying, please, go back to Olivia's four seeds. When we're done today, folks, when you're done, spend 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Go to Mark and Luke and read what Olivia brought up last week, the parable of the sower and the seed. The seed took in all four instances, but only in one did it endure. Okay.
Amen.
Anything else this before
where,
I have you go to?
Yeah, this is where we are. This is where we are, the four of us talking to you. 1 Corinthians 2, 1 and 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified.
Okay, now let's go further. Let's go further in that. Go down through 5.
I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my
Wait, where are all your... Whoa, hold on. Where are all your PhD degrees? After all, your degrees is what leads people to Christ. No, it doesn't. Listen to what Paul said. Read that again.
Which one? All of it?
No, that last one about weakness.
Yes. I can testify to that. Listen, people, I have degrees, but it's not in the Bible. They mean nothing to me talking to you here. My degree
Amen.
Is in the Holy Spirit. That's my degree.
Amen.
My degree is in loving my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the only real degree that means anything
well,
right
listen
here.
Listen to Paul, who wrote 13 epistles and maybe 14 if he wrote Hebrews. Listen to what he says. Repeat that verse 3 again. I came to you in what?
Yeah. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech, verse 4, and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit, power. That's what I'm talking about.
Read
it's
5.
It's the Holy Spirit. It's the only the Holy Spirit working through us that means anything. Verse 5.
Amen.
That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God.
Do you see
it's
where that ties
that
in 100%? That ties in 100% with the condition of the soil and the parable of the seed in the soil.
Yeah. That prayer that prayer that I prayed in the beginning here, when I said,
ma'am.
Listen, what I care about is not anything that I say in and of myself, but that the Holy Spirit would work through all of us and that he would work through you as well, that he would touch you. Open your ears, open your eyes, and allow you to hear and see in Scripture what he wants you to hear and see. That he would open my mouth and speak the words that he wants me to speak. Nothing that I have to say, because anything I have to say in my own power is worthless. Worthless. It means nothing. The only thing
worthless
that I have to say
to the
is
true
worth
kingdom.
Anything.
Yes.
That's right. The only thing worth anything is what's in God's word and what the Holy Spirit says. Look here. I just opened up here to this 1 Corinthians 2, 1 and 2, and then Carl says, go all the way through five. This is what the Holy Spirit said, open to hear. This is not something that I had planned in any way, shape, or form. This is God working through us, and I hope he's working through you today as well.
Read verse 2 again.
I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified.
Okay, I'm going to take
chapter
down
three,
this
verse
question.
6 and 7. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase.
Okay,
not
now
us.
Raven, that verse 2. I
can you please tell me that what verse that was?
Which one, honey?
First Corinthians.
Nothing but yeah. Christ crucified.
Yes.
First Corinthians 2:2. Now, I want you, Raven, Winter, Carl, do you see where what Olivia said 35 minutes ago about it's not just intellectual belief in Jesus Christ?
Yeah.
How Paul's stressing that? He wants you to know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. Do you see,
amen,
Olivia, where your statement 35, 40 minutes ago, that it has to be more than intellectual? Does that make sense to the people? And folks, if it doesn't make sense to you, if you think we're missing something, please call in and give us an opportunity to give you other verses, because what we're on focus right now, folks, again, it's not my words. It is either going to determine at your judgment, well done, good and faithful servant, or depart from me, I never knew you. And when he says, depart from me, I never knew you, it's into everlasting torment in Revelation 20.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's the number here? What's the number here that you can call in, Carl?
Say, you've broken all my balloons. Now you're asking me to think. 319-527-6208. And I am not asking, and none of these people, I don't know Olivia very well. I know Raven extremely well, probably than she'd like to know me. I know Winter very well, that I have tremendous respect in both Raven and Winter as far as their ability to take the word of God and to explain it according to the Bible, not according to man. And none of these people, folks, have any desire other than your salvation. So please, if you ask a question, I fully trust anyone on this line to help you with that. And that is something that is my responsibility as the host of the show. But any of these people, including you, listen tonight to Winter's program from 6 to 9. If you want to delve into this further, and I haven't even asked her about it, but I'm sure that her desire for your salvation, she'd be more than happy to help you with the scripture, any of us. That is our goal.
Amen.
Absolutely.
All right.
And what's your email address, Carl?
Huh. Folks, Raven is sitting there. You can hear the voice in her where she's starting to laugh, because she knows that that's a question like asking me the composition of moon rocks. But
that's
email
okay if you don't know it right offhand. I just know that you'd be happy to help them if you...
Yes, and I have had people, including your friend Raven, who questioned me. If you want to send or get a hold of me, and I can respond or give you help or even give you a phone call, if you want to give me on an email, it'd be Carl with a C, the last name P is in Peter, RALL@gmail.com, and I will respond. But I'm telling you, folks, if you get on here and one of these other three people, other than myself, they are of one heart with one mind, and that is your soul. We have no other thing to accomplish. And then I would, if you like the format we have here, I would highly recommend you get on tonight between 6 and 9, and Winter has a program. Is it 1 minute till midnight?
Yes.
Is the name of the
6 to 9 okay. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central.
Folks, we're here
and
about saving yourself.
We're doing part
yes.
3 of how the New Age and Truth Movement are deceptive and pulling the Christian believer into the New Age. So it will piggyback nicely onto what you're studying.
Oh, the New Age. Isn't that exactly what you're talking about, Raven, in Acts 20?
Yeah.
And then also
yeah.
in 1 Timothy 4:1?
Yeah. Yeah.
Doctrine
yes, and if you ask many,
devil.
Many New Agers, they think that they believe in Jesus, that they've made
they
him
do.
Into a Buddhist-type Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah.
Just what Olivia said. Now,
yeah.
let's go back and explain and read Ephesians 1, 12 through 15, and I want you
okay.
to stop after each verse, and we're going to explain the difference between believing intellectually, as Olivia said Satan does, and believing the belief that will save your soul.
Make sure I'm starting at the right one again here. 12, okay.
12.
That we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his, am I reading the right one? Yes, the praise of his glory. In him you also
what
trusted.
What is the, hold on. The first parameter
yeah.
here, folks, and I want you to get the three synonymous words, belief, trust, and faith. It's not just
yeah.
intellectual. As Olivia said 45 minutes ago, Satan believes in Christ. Oh, does he? He's actually talked to him, seen him, walked with him. He believes in him, but it's not a saving faith. So first thing we have here, what is this belief? It's trust. Go ahead, Raven. 13.
Yeah. In whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed
believe.
With the Holy Spirit of promise.
Okay,
yeah.
you believed. Winter has given me a very, very good lecture. And again, not trying to patronize anybody or be nice to them, but she has. I could say things that are true, but am I referring to the truth? And there is only one truth. That is John 14:6. Jesus said,
yeah.
I am the way, the truth. In other words, I could use true statements, but am I pointing
right.
you to saving faith in Jesus Christ? If I'm not, I'm a false prophet. Speaking demons, doctrines of demons and devils. That's a whole nother thing that I'll let Winter get into if she'd like to say a few words about. And she did help me with that. I could give you truth or say true things, but I could be part of the problem keeping you from the true truth, who is Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Raven, I don't know if you've heard it. Does that make sense to you, what I just said?
Since you've invited me to, I will interject here just
go
briefly
right
because you've
go
been
ahead.
A big part of that for me because, you know, without going into detail in my own journey, I did become very interested in the truth movement, which is a term that's coined from 1999 when the Twin Towers fell or was it 2001, sorry, when the Twin Towers fell. And there were a group of people that noticed that the official narrative had major holes in it. So they started spreading the word, and it was coined the truth movement, those that were spreading the word. And being one that initially was very shy with God to step into my calling, and in fact prayed, you know, I was basically frightened to step into my calling. I was called at age 13, and he then started to woo me, grow me up. I don't know how you basically want to say, when I was 23 and started showing me evidence of his greatness. And so I was like completely sold out for him and noticed that in doing so, there's the standard norm of society, and then there are the peculiar people, those that are children of God. And it does take some level of fortitude to be able to stand in Christ and stand for Christ in your in so many and sundry daily things that come up. I mean, you could talk about happy hour with the buddies from work, or, you know, when the jokes come up, or, you know, just in keeping the Sabbath, if you do that literally. So there had to be some level of fortitude for a person to truly start walking in faith, because there are daily decisions where that is exemplified. So when the Truth Movement came up, I was very attracted to it because these were people with gumption and fortitude that were not afraid to say, hey, you know, we were all told that it's some black ops going on from Arab-type people that were made out to be boogeyman in a foreign country wearing robes and sent, you know, some pilots over to learn to fly and basically bring down some of our major landmarks. That was the official story and the holes in it that they were pointing out, you know. So I could relate to these people because I found when I started standing up for Christ that I had to have that kind of fortitude as well. And so I really became interested in conspiracy theory in the early 2001 and onward. And so, in fact, the 1 minute till midnight subtitle was Conspiracy Exposed. And we took various and sundry conspiracy theory topics and exposed them, talked about them, but always from a biblical perspective. And I would listen weekly to your show, Carl, and basically you're just, you know, hitting the Word of God front on and doing so without any allegiance to any particular denomination and therefore no allegiance to any particular doctrine and therefore no allegiance to any false doctrine, just the pure, unadulterated Word of God, which is where I, you know, my original purpose was to bring people around to that through seeing the error of where the dark people in control are bringing us. And yet what ended up happening was I found that there was a level of my own having been deceived in the fact that I was so absorbed in the Truth Movement. And I began to see by taking what you taught on your show, what you teach on your show, and laying it. It wasn't anything you specifically overtly taught me. It was taking the pattern of what I was hearing in the Word of God that you preach and laying that pattern over my own life and over my own goals and own, way of going about bringing people to Christ. And I ended up seeing myself that my own show was and is and has been a tool for me to become sanctified and to come out of her further and see that the New Age movement and the Truth Movement, the New Age movement did not infiltrate the Truth Movement. The New Age movement and the Truth Movement share so many ideology veins, you know. So if you want to know more, come join my show tonight, same phone number, 5 o'clock Central. But that's basically what happens when we allow ourselves to be immersed in the Word of God and our faith is increased and then we become sanctified and he takes us further and further out of Babylon into the kingdom in a spiritual sense.
Well, that's exactly what Raven read in Ephesians 1:13. What folks, what Winter has said here And I'm going to have Raven, I'm going to have you read 13 again. But listen to what Raven says. You heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, which is 100% based in the object of your faith being Jesus Christ, which is where Olivia went at the end of last week with the parable of the seeds and the sower. And there's only one that can do it, and that is Jesus Christ, who is the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life, he said in John 14:6. Now, once you do believe, so I'm going to have Raven read 1:13 again, and then we're going to continue to 14 and 15. So far, we've got two words. We've got trust, and we have belief. Go ahead.
All right. I would like to interrupt that for just a moment. Of course, you know
right
I'm going to, but but that's because basically what I hear you saying is that you were being pulled away by, even though you started out with the intent of giving pure gospel, you were being pulled away into, let's say, another gospel, which takes me to Galatians.
Absolutely, yes.
That's
how Satan does it, by dividing his kingdom.
Yeah.
That's
so
exactly
I'm going to
and offering you flavors
one.
Of ice cream of deception.
Well, I'm going to Galatians
right.
1:69. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. And that's what was happening, is that you were being pulled
Amen.
Into something else, into
okay,
another
Raven,
gospel.
Was,
what,
would you agree yeah. What she saw herself being pulled into was what Olivia was referring to of the other
yeah.
three soils? They believed.
Yeah.
But something came
yeah.
in, and it made the soil of no effect.
Yeah. And this
and
is what
if
happened.
I can add...
When
if
we
I can
allow
explain a little
something
better
to pervert that gospel, you see, then we are being pulled, which is what verse 7 says. It's perverting the gospel of Christ. And it starts out slowly, you see. And this is how we get distracted. And that's what these are, is distractions at first. But then as it slowly perverts that gospel of Christ, it gets worse and worse, and this is why we need to stay in Scripture. We need to stay in Scripture.
Do you see why, Raven? Do you see what you're saying, though, ties right into the three forms of soil that the seed
yes,
took in,
absolutely.
But it never lasted. It didn't last. It didn't
yes.
last. This is amazing.
Yes. So back then to Ephesians 1:13. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So that's what we have to stick with, is that word of truth. Not those people who say that they have truth, because we're talking about the word of truth, which is Christ, not someone else's truth.
And that's what Olivia said. An hour ago, Raven, she said, just don't intellectually believe. I know what you're
That's
saying
right.
here. You've got to have trust and believe. And when that happens, only when that happens, does the end happen. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit. It means you're born again.
Yes. Who is the
we
guarantee?
We can talk about this for the next 2 weeks. What? Read that again. Read 14.
Yes.
Who is the guarantee of our inheritance?
Christ is the guarantee. The word of truth
Amen.
Is our guarantee. That's who he is. He is the word of truth. who is the guarantee
Olivia, do you
of
see
our
how important?
What's that?
Olivia, do you see how important the words you uttered in the beginning is, that it's not just knowing him?
Right.
Yes, it's not just knowing him. It's actually having that spiritual connection with him, being with him.
And that connection comes through the Holy Spirit of promise. Look at that end of 13, Olivia. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That is the intimacy. That is the lifeblood of the intimacy.
Yeah.
Boy,
it's
this is tremendous. I don't know how you people can get so much out of a... Just think of the little verses we've used here and the amount of information you've gleaned from it. Okay. Let's go to verse 15. We still got one more word to put in here with faith and trust.
And belief.
Yep.
Let's finish 14. It was the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. I mean, amen.
Possession.
Hallelujah.
That's when he returns. Matthew chapter 25.
Yes. Yes. Amen. Therefore,
one more
What's that?
Go ahead.
Verse 15. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and you and your love for all the saints, verse 16, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers.
Now, if you go back to 12, 13, 14, and 15, Olivia was absolutely correct. Belief does not mean intellectual. It means trust, it means believe, and it means faith. Do you see the distinction? And folks, if you are just joining a club, going through a procedure which is biblical, baptism, baptism, the water doesn't save anything. The water is symbolic of dying, and you go underwater. You old man with the old sin and unbelief is crucified, dead.
Yeah.
But do you see where Olivia's opening statements about Satan believes in God? Yes, he does. And that is, Raven, what came up Thursday night. What does this belief really mean? Should have had Olivia Okay, and again, we're not trying to compliment each other here, but this, folks, is just tremendous what the Holy Spirit's doing in these, in Raven, Winter, and Olivia. All right.
Right,
now,
let's go to the Holy Spirit.
Well, absolutely. That's our whole point. Now, Raven, I want you to read Ephesians 3:20. What kind of power is this? Remember where you said that the power may rest with God, not man? Read the power in Ephesians 3:20 that is at work, folks, that we don't even understand. We're not capable of understanding.
Yes. Now, to him was able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.
Okay, now let's read two more verses. Let's read two more verses to just tie this, two little bows around this package that Olivia started. What do we have to do? What do we have to do to activate this power? Read Ephesians 1:19.
Okay. Ephesians 1:19. And what?
This is the power that Olivia talked about in the beginning. It's not just an intellectual. I believe my love of sports, all the great ball players I watch, I believe they existed. I went to ball games and watched them. But let's go ahead now and say, in order to access this power that we can't even understand, what do we have to do? And it gets back to Olivia's opening statements.
Yes. Now, I'm going to read verse 18 before it, too, because remember in my prayer in the beginning, this is so interesting, in my prayer in the beginning, I asked that everyone's eyes be opened to the truth. The eyes of understanding, being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And then verse 19, what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power.
But do you see where you've got to go?
Open.
You've got to go to the belief Olivia brought up in the beginning, over an hour ago. It can't be intellectual only. It has
to be,
per Ephesians 1, 12 through 15, faith, trust, coupled with belief. In who? In Jesus Christ, as Winter said, don't let a truth keep you from the truth.
Let's
get a little more specific and see if the Holy Spirit really means this. Read 1 Thessalonians 2:13.
Okay.
How do we access this grace? How does this incomparable power in my life?
For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it. Not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. Amen.
The word of truth. What Winter said there for a couple of minutes, describing getting into a truth movement as opposed to knowing the truth, the word of truth. The word is Jesus Christ. And what does this happen if you believe? The word works effectually in you. It's not magic, folks, but it is miraculous. There's no question.
Amen.
But what do you have to do? You have to believe. Okay, let's go back to the fundamental building block, folks, and every human being on this. Yeah, go ahead.
It's not that knowing the things in the truth movement that makes an issue arise for your salvation. It's the temptation and the spirit behind it that tempts you to wake other people up into forming an army against the shadow government and taking up physical arms against it and saving your own physical life. There's nothing in it that has the message of the gospel. And for those that call themselves Christian and believe in that idea, there are a lot of Christian QAnon followers, for example, that believe this idea of defeating the secret, the swamp, and you can't do both. You have to put all your faith in Jesus, and your actions have to be surrendered to him. And to do otherwise is to follow this ideology that is what we basically call the New Age, which is a very old age, which is Gnosticism, Gnosticism turns the gospel on its head. It's basically the direct opposite of the gospel. And the Gnostic Gospels were written after all the disciples had passed away, because if they had dared to portray Jesus the way the Gnostic Gospels portray him before they died, they would have had witnesses to stand up and say, no, that's not correct. That's not the Jesus that walked the earth with us and discipled us.
Raven, could this be what she just said, Galatians 1, 8, 9?
Yes,
you read?
Exactly. Exactly.
Exactly. Let's go
another,
and take all these verses
gospel.
That we've just... Exactly. Let's take all these verses and let's start from the foundation where everyone on this line is interested and every other person listening, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Tell me all the things I've got to do, including coming up and being a parent to go to be born again. What does Ephesians 2, 8 say about my works?
Not of works, lest anyone should boast.
Read that again. You are muffled. I can't hear you. Please.
I lost my speaker there. I'm sorry. For by grace you have been
saved. Okay, that's all
right. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast.
Boast, boast, boast. You hear boasting in more churches and denominations than I can count.
Yes.
I minored math in college, but I can't count that high. Okay, read 9.
Not of works, lest anyone should boast.
10.
For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them.
We're not saying you don't have works, folks, but your works don't proceed. Verse 10 does not come before 8 and 9. Now, I'm not the sharpest tool in the box, but 10 comes after 8 and 9. If your works are not a result of your saving faith by the distinction that Olivia made an hour and 10 minutes ago, you may be going through a drill of works that people are putting you through to keep you under their control and their thumb, and may I add, donations to them. Folks, you can't. Yeah. Raven, go to James 2:22. We're not saying
James.
You don't have works. James 2:22. We're not saying you don't have works, folks, but they've got to be a result of your blind faith in Jesus Christ, meaning nothing you do.
Yes. Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect?
By faith. Read that again. Bikes are made perfect. You see, not saying don't get involved in works, but don't let people tell you what you're to do. Olivia, I look at her, I look at Raven, I look at Winter, I look at these people and people that I'm going to be around tonight when I go to my Bible study. These people are not even conscious. They don't come into this program with a syllabus there about what they're going to talk about, like you would if you're teaching a course. They're coming in here in the Holy Spirit. Raven, often when you and I talk, the Holy Spirit gives you things that you weren't even prepared to talk about.
Right.
Folks,
absolutely.
Believe this is true. Why I want you to believe it is none of these people are asking you for even a free glass of water. Just like Paul said that he had a right to take money when he was preaching support, but he said he did not want to pollute the gospel. We are not polluting the gospel and the truth of Jesus Christ by anything that we are asking you. We're only asking you because we're better than anybody, but it's a work of the Holy Spirit in us because they believe. Please just think of what these people are saying. And if you have some verses what you're confused with, either send me an email or come back next week, or I'm sure that Winter would be more than happy to address these, and I'm speaking for her. She would be more than happy to address these issues at between 6 and 9 tonight on this very program, Eastern Standard Time. And she's very good at it. And I will tell you that, being this is, I am the one that is the host of this show. If I did not think that she was equally capable of any of us, I would not say that. So this is not out of politeness. This is out of your eternal soul, folks. We want you not to hear those words, the saddest words in the world. Those people did what? They healed people in Jesus' name. They cast out demons. They taught in his synagogue. And he said, I never knew you. Depart from me into everlasting fire. We don't want somebody to be faked out by that. Now, Winter gave you about a five-minute dissertation. There are things that are true. There's truth. But the truth is Jesus Christ. Focus on that. Go back to what Olivia said. It's not just, yes, he existed. Do you believe and trust and have faith in him to save your soul? Nothing you or I can do. Nothing except believe, trust, and have faith.
Amen. No one on here has a book to sell. We won't ask you for money to pray for you. Nothing like that. The only book that I would tell you to buy is a Bible. That's it.
Amen. Now, I want to go into one other thing that I know Raven and Winter, and I've not talked to Olivia on it, but I know she believes it too. I want you to read, Raven, Hebrews 1:1-2. For those people who say that the Old Testament, and I'm quoting major ministries, I'm not going to mention their name because that's not my purpose. One of them, the Bible is not pertinent to today, and today not pertinent to the Bible. Another one, I have never read the Old Testament full through and don't intend to. Another one, the Old Testament, many of the stories never happened. They are just there to convey a message to us. These are not the dipstick you have in your engine to check your oil like I am. These are major multi-million dollar ministries on radio and TV that I've just quoted. I will not give the names of the people. That is not my goal. I couldn't care less. I care very much that you understand. Raven is going to, because we have a mod, we have almost built up, folks, in certain sectors where the Old Testament, we even almost make fun of it. Raven, I want you to read what God himself says, the only difference between the Old and New Testament.
God,
Hebrews 1.
God, who at various times and in different ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world.
The only difference, folks, God is speaking in both old and new. Before you get on these silly rampages like Raven and I have heard in Sunday school, and pastors sitting in the Sunday school and nobody willing to even think about it or say anything if they heard it. Well, these things in the Old Testament, a lot of them didn't really happen. They're just stories. Really? You really want to go into eternity and have to answer that? God is speaking to us. What is the only difference in the New Testament and the Old Testament? And I'm not talking that Christ fulfilled it. I'm saying,
Biblical archaeology proves that wrong. They found the pillars of salt in Sodom and Gomorrah turned to salt, and they found where the Red Sea parted and the Ark of the Covenant, and you know, so many different things have been discovered through biblical archaeology for it to all be a big parable of stories. Plus, how much time do they spend on genealogy?
You are correct, but one thing I've learned false doctrine from the pulpit, 1 Timothy 4:1-2, has nothing to do with facts.
Right.
I want you to understand that. You could come up with all of what the, and you're right. There have been a, there was someone, I don't even know who, he wasn't famous, who I saw on YouTube recently. The guy said, I was an avowed atheist all my life, but he says, I am in archaeology. I can't ignore it any longer. But fact
yes.
does not affect a false prophet, folks. Does not. Now, what is the difference between the New and Old Testament? God speaking to us. He's not changing his message. He didn't go in at halftime in a football game and the offensive coordinator come to him and say, we've got a game plan, but we got to change it for the second half. For those who like football like I do, you'll know what I'm saying. God didn't change his message.
Absolutely.
He spoke to us. Go ahead. Go ahead, Warner.
I disagree with you. The message is the same.
That,
in
no,
the Old
that's
and the
what
New
I'm
Testament,
saying.
There's a
that's what I'm saying. Exactly.
And the Word of God was made flesh and dwelt among us and spoke as a man.
No, what I'm saying,
the Word of God spoke in the Old Testament.
What
well.
I'm saying is God did not change his message. He did not
right.
change
I
his
understand
message.
That and agree.
Okay. He is speaking to us the same message. But in the Old Testament, he spoke directly through the prophets. Now it's through his son. Did I confuse that?
Amen.
No, not at all. And in the Old Testament,
okay.
not just through the prophets, but also in the stories themselves, he was showing reflections of who he is through his people. And in so doing, bringing them out of Egypt and delivering them into the promised land, but only a remnant making it to the promised land. I mean, it's all a type and shadow of the salvation process and how we have
Amen.
To leave Egypt and be sanctified through the desert and hard times and trust only in God who provides us manna daily and twice on Friday to get us through the Sabbath. And we don't take more than what we don't gather extra for the next day because it'll turn to worms, and that he's the fire by night and the cloud by day. And, you know, all of it is a picture. It's a picture for us to understand him better.
And I've actually heard this year, I take it back, the end of last year, in the church, not at the casino, which I don't go to, but in the church, as we all hee-hawed, these are just stories. Folks, somebody's got to stand up and say you're wrong. Because there's nothing you're agreeing. To say
That's
nothing,
right.
we're agreeing. Okay, Raven, would you, let's prove that God doesn't change his story. God doesn't go in at halftime in a football game and make a new plan. Read Romans 4.
What's
three,
that?
Romans 4:3 first.
Okay.
God does not change.
Yes. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness.
It can't be because he obeyed the commandments. We've got a book written by a multimillionaire about 5 years ago that says that a certain group of people do not have to believe in Jesus Christ for salvation. It's a book. I'm not saying it out of my own knowledge. It was very
right.
big 5 years ago. Folks, God has salvation by one thing, and that is by believing God. If you do not believe and trust and have faith, like Olivia said an hour and 20 minutes ago, in Jesus Christ, you are not righteous in God's sight. I don't care how many commandments you keep. Okay, Raven, we're getting down to crunch time. Read verses 13 through 16 in Romans 4.
Yeah. The promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of no effect.
Because and yet we've got people writing books that say that you've got to obey the law to go to heaven. Go ahead.
Right. Because the law brings about wrath. For where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all.
So do you see what Winter said about the archaeological findings proving that these are not just good stories to make us feel good while we're overdosing on Dunkin' Donuts in Sunday school before the church service? And that's why I've heard it. These folks, it goes back to Abraham. Don't give me the law. There was no commandment with Abraham. He was 500 years or so before the commandments, and I may be historically a little off there. I'm terrible in history. Nothing changes. Now, Winter said something, and man, I'm not doing this justice at all. She said that everything in the Old Testament was up in shadow, if I'm quoting her right, of what was coming in Jesus Christ. Are we to obey the law? Yes, we obey it, but we obey the law by our faith in him, not by the fact that I'm a better person than what Olivia or Raven are. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yes.
In fact, you know, Winter, that's something you're much more, I'm not going to use the word better, although you are. You're just, you've done this. You would be able to elaborate on this a lot better than I am. We have to obey the law. That doesn't mean like the morons in Romans chapter 6, verse 1 and 15 said, oh, well, being more under grace, let us keep sinning. The more we sin, the more grace. No. Or Paul in 6:15 in Romans, that means being we're no longer under the law, we can keep sinning. Paul says, absolutely not. So I'm not saying we can disobey the law. All right, we're getting down to the end. Do me a favor, Winter, say hello to Betty for me, whom I spoke to Friday night. I'll tell you what, I would like now to thank the Holy Spirit for guiding us. 90 seconds. Raven, Winter, and Olivia, if you'd like to say a final 30-second prayer, go ahead.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this wonderful time that we've had with you. Olivia and Winter and Carl, we just see so much you working through each and every one of us. And Lord, I just believe that there are people out there listening who have heard all of this and who have been touched by your Holy Spirit. We just magnify your name, Lord. We love you, and we thank you for everything you do through all of these programs that are happening. One of us being able to hear you. In Christ's name, amen.
We have about 25 seconds. Olivia or Winter, if you want to say a quick prayer.
Thank you, Father, for this wonderful program, and may the seeds go out and bless others' lives. Keep people from the hands of the fowler, and may the Holy Spirit make it crystal clear what is of you and what is not. And we just thank God for all the listening ears and pray your blessings upon them. And see you in an hour and a half or more if you guys would like. We pray protection and true wisdom for everybody in the name of Jesus Christ.
Very good.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay. I thank you. Thanks for participating, folks.
Amen.